or lateness, and I don't know that we'll ever be to anything on time anymore. I didn't know how long it took to get ready with the baby. And even when you think you're ready, there's always something that comes up. So still though, we love her to pieces. This morning, we want to spend a little bit of time talking about an extraordinary mom. So pray with me as we start. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity you give us this morning to open your word. We pray now that your Holy Spirit will be with us. I pray, Lord, that you will hide me behind the cross and that Jesus will shine forth. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As was read in the scripture reading out of Exodus 20, verse 12, the fifth commandment is one of the commandments that actually has a promise in it. It says, honor your father and your mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You see, it's a difference. There is a difference between a long life, but not a very full life. And there is a difference also between a full life, but not a very long life. The Lord promised that he will give you a long and a full life if you honor your father and your mother. So the question is, and I think it's in a very important question today, how do we honor our father and our mother? Now, the most common question that I've heard when I've asked that question is, well, you got to obey. Yeah, you got to obey. It's perhaps the natural response. You got to obey. But you see, I think that beyond obeying, which I think it's important, you got to obey your parents, but there's only a certain, you know, you get to a certain age where you say, yes, mommy, yes, daddy. And for those of you that have teenagers, you know that you get to the teenage years and it's the system starts to meet some resistance. You get to the later teenage years and it's almost, you ask them to do something and they're going to do the opposite. Of course, it doesn't matter how old you are, you're still a child to your mom. I don't know if you know that. So you may be 50 or 60 years old. If you have your mom around, guess how they look at you? As their kid. And guess what they expect? Obedience. Obedience. And I can still remember one day we were sitting around, Sherry and I were dating, and you've met Andy, my brother-in-law, correct? He's about 6'3", 6'4", big guy, husky guy. And my mother-in-law was asking Andy to do something, and he says, no, I'm not going to do it. In a joking manner, but she didn't take it as a joking manner. So he says, you better do it. No, I'm not going to do it. Nope, you better do it. Nope, not going to do it. So she got all trepidated and went and grabbed a wooden spoon. She says, I'm going to teach you a lesson. She says, go ahead, hit me. I'll report you to CPS. You can't report me. You're over 18 now. Well, yes, I can. No, you can't. Well, took the wooden spoon, hit him, and guess what happened to the spoon? It broke. And he just laughed, and we all just laughed and had fun, and guess what she did? She got even madder because she would not obey. You see, obedience, doesn't matter how old you are, is still expected. But I think there's something else that we can do to honor our fathers and our mothers. As a matter of fact, the book of John chapter 19, verse 17, I think it's a prime example of showing honor to mothers and to fathers, specifically mothers here. Let me set the scene for you. We've been talking about it the last month. Jesus has been taken to trial. They have been witnesses that have been hired to speak against him. He has been beaten. He has been treated in an ugly manner. He has been to the Garden of Gethsemane. He has been crucified. Now he is hanging there on the cross. He is struggling to breathe. Because every time you breathe, when you're crucified, it hurts. Every fiber of your body hurts. That's a slow, painful death. That's what crucifixion was. So Jesus is standing there at the end of his life. He's about to die. Yet, we have an account here in which Jesus focuses on his mother. As a matter of fact, look at what he says. Standing near the cross, this is verse 25, standing near the cross of John chapter 19, were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So three Marys were there, Mary times three. Verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." Verse 27, and he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, his disciple took her into his home. So Jesus honors his mother here by providing a caretaker for her. Now, I've heard people say, "Well, Pastor, you know, there weren't any nursing homes back then." And I don't know, there might not have been. But in that culture, it was, and it still is actually, customary for the children to care for the parents until the day that they passed on. As a matter of fact, in many cultures today, it is still that same culture. As a matter of fact, in many countries, there is no such thing as nursing homes, because people take care of their parents at home. So Jesus sent John to take care of Mary. I thought I heard an amen. You should have said it louder. Amen. Yep. You see, it was customary. Now, it is interesting to note that in our country, and again, this is not, we need nursing homes, amen? There is cases where we need them. So we praise the Lord for that. But you see, there are some concrete numbers of nursing homes. Number one is that many times when a person is put in a nursing home, their life expectancy after they enter the nursing home diminishes by a great percentage. As a matter of fact, many of them die within the first few months that they're in the nursing home. Have you ever wondered why that is? There are, I believe there's probably many reasons, but I believe the number one reason is many times they go into a new, you remember the first time you went to school, right? First grade, kindergarten. You remember the first time you walked into a place where you didn't know anybody? It was a scary experience. And if you didn't connect with anybody, guess how you felt? Lonely. You felt lonely, you felt depressed, you felt dejected, you felt that you had something wrong with you. That's why nobody wanted to be a part or connected to you. So many people go into nursing homes with that same experience. They don't connect. They don't have a child. And if they don't have a son or a daughter that comes to visit them on a regular basis or a family member to show them love, guess what happens? They give up. You see, that's why John, and it's interesting to note, John was the youngest of all the disciples. And we don't have a whole lot of John doing ministry after the death of Jesus Christ. We don't have a whole lot written about him. We do find him years later in Patmos. That's when he does most of his ministry. So a lot of theologians speculate that it was John's ministry to go and take care of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, it is interesting to note that, and I want to make this very clear, I believe that Mary was an extraordinary woman. To be a teenager and to be chosen with the task of raising a child that had the magnitude, the mission of the magnitude that Jesus did, it takes an extraordinary woman. Amen? I believe that she had, you know, wisdom that was imparted to her to be able to do the job that she did, or else she couldn't have done it. I believe that she probably was a very special woman. However, I do not believe, and the Bible does not support, that Mary was in any way, shape, or form a divine co-redemptor with Jesus. Okay? I do not believe that she had any divine powers to control or manipulate the mission of Jesus. Amen? I do believe that she did her best to educate him, and as a matter of fact, that was the custom of that time. The man worked, the woman, the wife, the mother, care for the child. Now, when I say care, it was not just, you know, providing for the needs. The mother was the educator. The mother was the one that taught how to read, how to write, how to spend time in the Word, how to understand mathematics, how to do everything. Mary did that work. And again, remember that Jesus worked as a carpenter in his father's shop. So he learned from them. He understood what they were doing. He spent time with them. And as a matter of fact, we do have a couple of incidents in which seems that Jesus did not obey his parents. One of which was when he was 12 years old. You remember the story, right? They go out to the temple. Can you imagine? I don't know if it's happened to you, but you get to the point where, you know, you've lived your life and it's only been you and your wife and you're used to doing things by yourself and you're taking off everywhere. And then all of a sudden you have another little one that you have to worry about. As a matter of fact, somebody was telling me the story here that when they had their first child, the mother had come home and it had been about 2 or 3 days since they'd been home, and you know, she needed to go out, the mother needed to go out and do some business at the grocery store. The husband had gotten to work that morning. Baby sleeping, so she forgot that the baby was sleeping. She needed to go do some shopping, so she got up, got ready, and went shopping, just as she had done every other time in her life. So there she is shopping at the store, and all of a sudden, I got a baby. Where is that baby? She starts looking around. She remembers the baby's back home. And in a moment of panic, she drops everything at the store and runs back to the house, drives back to the house. But can you imagine the magnitude of the fear that comes to your mind when you realize you've forgotten your child? That's what happened with Mary and Joseph. They had been in Jerusalem. They had been at the temple for a few days. And as a matter of fact, you know, it shows us the education that Mary had taught Jesus. Because when he's at the temple, here you have all the educated people. You have the doctors of theology. You have the doctors of ministry. You have the doctors of, you know, biblical research. And here's a 12-year-old boy. And he is not only at their level, but it's come to the point where they're asking him questions. They spend a few days there, then it seems like it's time for them to return back to their home. And as Mary and Joseph are traveling along with the family, you know, there's all kinds of families. And motherhood, you know, takes different roles, correct? There are aunts, aunties, that play the role of a mother. So we appreciate aunties, all right? I grew up with an auntie that I still consider my mom. As a matter of fact, I call her Manena, which in Spanish means, you know, another name for a mom. So as Mary and Joseph are there with the whole family, there's the aunties, the sisters, the cousins, whoever else, there's a big group caravan, they're going home, they're all talking, you know, all the kids are having fun, they're playing. So Mary and Joseph are probably thinking, oh yeah, Jesus is up there. They go up there, he's not there. They go back, oh, he's not there either. They go check over here, they're not there either. And all of a sudden, panic starts getting into their head. Where's Jesus? So they return back and find him at the temple. They get on his case. How can you do this? And you remember what Jesus says to them? Didn't you know that I was about my Father's business? Now, we hear that, and it may be very easy for us to say Jesus was telling them that his Father was more important than them. We hear that, and we might say Jesus was telling them that they were secondary and that God was primary. We might hear that, and we might say Jesus was disrespecting Joseph and Mary, and he was respecting his Father in heaven. We might see that and imagine a whole lot of things, but I think it is important for us to read the next verse, which says, he then went and submitted himself to them from that day on. So Jesus still honored his mother and his father, his earthly mother and father. He went and submitted to their authority and listened and learned and did everything according to their desires and, of course, what was best, they thought was best for him. Now, there is another story, and it's found in the book of Luke. The book of Luke mentions, and let me see if I can find it here for you. The book of Luke mentions that Jesus had other brothers. As a matter of fact, it's found in Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 19. Luke chapter 8, 19. So Jesus was in town. He's now a grown man. He's 30 years old. He comes back into town. He's talking and doing some ministry there. Verse 29 or verse 19, let's pick up the story. Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they could not get to him because of the crowd. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside, and they want to see you. The next verse says, and it's a very interesting verse, says, Jesus replied, my mother and my brothers are all those who hear God's word and what? And obey it. You see, Jesus here did not go out and talk with his mom. Jesus here did not go out and talk with his brothers. Have you ever wondered why? Was he showing disrespect to his mother here? Was he disobeying his mother here? What's going on here? You see, the Pharisees were starting to get afraid of the popularity and the authority and the power by which Jesus spoke. As a matter of fact, he was just starting to get rolling, and he was becoming popular, and people were following him. They started to see something special about this man. They started to see the miracles, and they started to get excited, and so people were following him. And the Pharisees and all the other leaders are worried about him. So guess what they do? They come to Jesus' mother. And you know how it is. Sometimes people think that by going to somebody's mom, the mom can stop their mission. And that's what they did. As a matter of fact, that's what tradition believes happened. They came to his mother, and his mother was actually there with the intent of saying, Jesus, you need to tone it down. Jesus, don't say such things. Don't do such things. Jesus, you know, you could be hurt. You could be, as a matter of fact, they could hurt me or they could hurt your brothers. So that's why Jesus says, and catch it, don't lose it there. That's why Jesus says, anyone who follows God's word and obeys it is my mother and my brother. What he is saying is it is better to follow God than to follow men. Even when it is contrary to what mom and dad might want. Only in the case where it pins against the principles of God. You understand that? And so Jesus says, everyone who obeys the word of God is my father, it's my mother, and my brothers. He didn't go out. It seems like he disobeyed his mom. But again, I think that Jesus did not disobey her. It's just that he had a higher calling. As a matter of fact, I believe that Jesus had a soft spot in his heart for his mother. You see, this woman, a kid, a teenager, had done this job of raising him. Now, I did not understand what it meant to care for a child 24/7 until about a few weeks ago. I had no idea the sacrifice, the hours, the prayer that goes into raising a child. But here is this woman who has spent countless hours. And again, you have to understand and you have to know, and let me say something here. You have to know that Jesus is the Son of God, amen? Amen. There's a divine element in him, amen? He is God embodied in human form, amen? You also have to understand that Jesus is 100% human. He is just like us, amen? He has every part in his body just like a human. He became one of us, amen? And you have to understand and you have to know that while he was here on earth, his divinity could not be used on himself, amen? If he did that, he would have forfeited the mission and he could not be our Savior. Amen? So now, as he is growing up as a human. Mary has the job of telling him and teaching him who he is, where he come from. Remember, the angel had told Mary, this is the one. He's the one, the Holy One. He's from the Father. This is his mission. This is what he's going to do. And the Bible says that Mary kept those things in her heart. You see, a mother's heart is very deep and sometimes full of mysteries, full of joy, full of love, full of care for her children. So Mary put in the time. Mary did the work. She did the best that she could in raising this boy. And she did a good job, amen? I thought she did a phenomenal job. That doesn't put her in the same level. As a matter of fact, let me read this to you because I think it is important to note that Mary herself needed a Savior. Let me show you. This is in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 46. This is after the angel had come. This is after Mary had gone and visited Elizabeth. This is Mary's song of praise. Listen to what she says. I'll read it from the NIV, which I think is what you have on here. And Mary said, my soul glorifies my Lord. This is the next one. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. You see, Mary needed a Savior. Mary is an extraordinary woman, but she needed a Savior. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. You see, it continues then to say, my spirit, oh my soul, praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He has shown mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. You see, Mary is praising the Lord for the wonderful things that he has done, not only for her, but for Israel, for all generations. And I believe that Mary probably had a very special prayer life. Can you imagine the prayer that had to go into that woman's life? So I think there are some things we can learn today, and we can definitely point to for mothers, to thank mothers for what they do. Number one, I think mothers and women in general are so devoted to what they do. If you don't know, just think back on your mom. When she got something in her head that she was going to do, she devoted every single energy, ounce of energy in her body to get that done. And a lot of times it wasn't for her, it was for her kids. It was for her family. Women, you know, in a lot of cultures are considered the weaker of the sexes. But in reality, when you look at it, when you see a woman go through what she goes through, I believe women are far more stronger in other areas than men could ever be. I was in the delivery room 6 weeks ago, and I can guarantee you I would have passed out. As a matter of fact, I almost passed out just watching. So you see, women have a different strength, a deeper strength, I believe. And that's important to note. That's important to understand, because you see, women give their strength, give their devotion to their family. They spent that time. They give their life. They do everything that they can. They nurture in ways that we don't come close as men. They love in ways that is different than men. Not any better or indifferent, but different. Mothers, you are special. And I believe that Jesus knew that, and that's why he pinpoints at the last moment of his life. I mean, we're talking minutes before he dies. He looks at John and he says, John, take care of my mother. I don't believe that is an incident that's an accident that's in the Bible just out of fluke. Jesus wanted to make a point here. And he wanted to make the point that you honor your parents by taking care of them. You see, it's a cycle. Life is a cycle. Children are dependent. Babies are dependent on their mom and dad. You know, little Isabella can't prepare her food. She can't change her diaper. She can't take a bath. She can't get herself dressed to go to bed. She depends on Sherry and me to do that. I guess it would be the proper way to say it, Sherry and I to do that. You see, she needs someone to take care of her. But you see, as life is a cycle, there's going to come a time in our life where guess who is going to need their diaper change? Guess who is going to need their food prepared? Guess who is going to need their clothes set out? Guess who is going to be needed to be dressed? Right here. Right here. You see, and Jesus was saying to John, John, take care of my mother. And John went and took her home and took care of her. You see, mothers devote their lives to their children. And Jesus is saying, I'm devoting John to take care of you. As a matter of fact, he gave us a commandment that said, honor your father and your mother so that God will give you a long and full life in the land which he has given you. Children, honor your mother. Honor your father. They do great things for you. They have done great. As a matter of fact, I would not be here if it wasn't for my mom. I mean, not only the fact that she gave birth to me, but I would not be here if it wasn't for her prayers. I would not be here if it wasn't for her hard work. This is a woman that, as a single mommy, raised three children. She didn't have a whole lot of money, but she's managed to educate, through school, three of the children. Through college, three of the children. Two of the children, master's degrees. This is a single woman who has worked very hard to make sure that her children have it better than she ever had it. And that's the point of being a mother, isn't it? That's the point of being a parent. You always want to do better for your children than you had it for yourself. So you see, mothers, we honor you. We thank you. And I think that as we look at Mary and what she went through, there are lessons for us to learn. Number one, it does not matter. It does not matter who we are. If we are willing to work with God, God is going to give us the wisdom to raise up a child. Number two, I believe that for Mary, Jesus was the most important child she ever had. And of course it did, because he was going to be the Savior of the world. Not that her others were not as important, but for parents, your child is the most important thing in the world, isn't it? I mean, your world revolves around that baby. And if you don't believe that, come talk to me. If you don't have children, come talk to me. You won't understand it until you have children. Or until you become an auntie and go and spend, you know, nights upon nights and nights and nights with a newborn baby. You won't understand it until you go through it. Number three, I think that Mary did her best to educate, to teach, to show experiences to Jesus so that he would understand. I don't know if there was a public school system back then. The Bible doesn't tell us. Most likely there wasn't. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament lets us know that the education of the children depended on the family. And I think that's a great way to do it. That's the biblical way to do it. And many times, you know, children that are educated at home have a better understanding if the parents, now catch this, if the parents put in the time. Because again, the children are not going to educate themselves. So I think we can learn from Mary to do that. We can also learn from Mary to pray. I think she had an extraordinary prayer life. She prayed for that boy because, remember, she kept in her heart all the things that Gabriel had said. She kept in her heart to know what she knew, to know what was going to happen to Jesus, to know the mission that he had to follow, to know that in her heart. Can you imagine, as a parent, praying for that? Knowing as a parent that your son was going to die before you did. No parent ever wants to bury their children. I guarantee you that. No parent. But Mary kept that in her heart and she kept praying. As mothers, as parents, we need to pray for our children. And I think that as a return, children, the best thing we can do is to take care of our parents when they get older. To love them. To make sure that they are provided for just as they provided for us when we were young. Now, Pastor, are you saying that we have to wait until they are really old and they can't take care of themselves to really come in? No, I'm not saying that. Pastor, are you saying that we all have to wait for Mother's Day to show our love for Mom? No. I believe that we need to show love to Mom every day. Amen? We need to hug her. You know, my mom's a hugger. As a matter of fact, she's coming up to see Isabella. And just prepare yourself, because my mom is a little bit, you know, just a bubbly personality. So When she hugs pretty strong too. So she would always hug us in public. And you know, you get to that age, about 14 or 15, where it's cool if someone hugs you, but it's not cool if your mom hugs you, especially in front of your friends. And so my mom, just to annoy us, she would grab us. And she, I mean, and you know, you're squirming, I'm squirming, trying to, couldn't get away. And then not only that, but she would start saying, "Oh, my little boy, I just love you." Mwah, mwah, mwah. Just, you know, going above and beyond. You see, we don't have to wait until they get older. We can return the favor. I wish now that all those times where I felt embarrassed by my mom, I would have learned to pay her back and just hug her and kiss her there. Probably embarrass her a little more on her side. I guess what I'm trying to say today is that mothers are important. Without mothers, we would not be here. Without mothers' love and prayer, without mothers' devotions, the world would be a different place. And I guess I'm trying to say to you men, fathers, husbands, if you have your mother, let her know that you love her. Show her that you love her. I guess what I'm saying is, if you have daughters, let them know that you love them. Show them that you love them. I guess what I'm saying is, if you're a mommy in waiting, or maybe you have never had the opportunity to be a mommy. You know, Sarah waited about 90 years. Elizabeth was pretty old too when she had John the Baptist. But I guess what I'm saying is, if you're a young girl, if you're waiting, know and understand that you have been created by a loving God who has instilled in you His glory and His power. And I believe a special side of His love that is able to shine in ways that men a lot of times don't understand. I guess really what I'm saying this morning is that mothers, every one of you, mothers, future mothers, aunties, cousins, whatever it is, I guess what I'm trying to say is that we love you. That we love you very much. That we appreciate you. That we appreciate your sacrifice. And that perhaps above all, we just love you for being who you are. And we thank you for that. And that's what Mother's Day is all about. So if your mom's here, if your daughters are here, if your wife is here, hug her. Hug her perhaps in a way that you have never hugged her before. As a matter of fact, let me finish by saying this. In my culture, people learn how to hug when they're young. And let me perhaps demonstrate to you a way, the correct way, if you will, to hug. Is that all right? Can I do that? I'm done with my sermon. My Bible's over there. This is extra credit. So this is free. This is free. If you ever hug somebody or have somebody hugged you, most of the times, you know, and we're taught, especially in the world that we live today, that we got to hug, you know, on the side if it's an opposite sex. And that's okay to do. That's very appropriate to do. That's very important to do. But when we're amongst family, in my family, we used to hug, and there was no hug You know, when we were right there all living next to each other, there was no hug that was shorter than 30 seconds. Now, what do you do in a hug that's not shorter than 30 seconds? You just hold the person there? No. But you hug somebody that's not used to hugging, and guess what they're going to try to do as soon as you hug them? Especially if you hug them good. They're going to try to wiggle away. And this is my mom and my dad, you know, growing up with the family, they would hug people and they would come right next to the ear and say, "Man, I really missed you. You're so special. It's been so nice to have you here. It's been so nice that you came." And during the whole time they're hugging. And guess what the person's trying to do? Back away. They're trying to wiggle away. And the more they hold, you know, the more they try to wiggle away, the tighter the hug gets. And the more, you know, sweet things that are being said. And guess what happens? At one point, sometime between 15 and 30 seconds, the person that is being hugged finally melts, finally relaxes. And guess what they do? They hug back. You see, that's a hug. A hug, you know, a lot of times we think of just, you know, or you know, my brothers and I, we just, you know, hit on the back or pat on the back and do all of that stuff. But you see, there's nothing like a good hug. So may I suggest to you, just do it, you know, just if your mom is, you know, if your mom is wondering, what are you doing? Are you trying to break my ribs? No, don't do it that hard. But hug her really hard. Hug her tight. Squeeze her good. Let her know how much you love her. Squeeze her for a long time. And I guarantee you, you'll see just the love beaming through her eyes. You will see and understand what it means to honor. There's many ways that we can honor, but I hope that you honor your mother, not only in her young age, in her middle age, not only in her old age, but every day of your life, because God has promised that He will give you a long, full life if you do that. And I want a long, full life. If I'm here, you know, when Jesus comes, and I'm still waiting, I want my life to be long and full and good. May God bless you as you remember mothers. May God bless you as you show love to your mothers. We're going to sing our closing hymn this morning, and Tanya is going to lead us on that.
I invite you to stand and we'll sing 499, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and we'll sing the first and the last verses.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to
our Father in heaven, so many times our mothers have taken us to you in prayer. And we appreciate that. We thank them for that. But today, Lord, we want to bring our mothers. We want to bring ladies in particular, in a special way, to you in prayer. Lord, I pray this morning that you'll bless every woman here. Current mothers, grandmothers, future mothers, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with each one of them. Lord, I pray that you'll give them the wisdom, the strength, the courage, Lord, everything that they need to be a successful, a faithful mother. We thank you, Lord, for the ones that you have blessed us with here. And we thank you for the ones that will continue to be and start being mothers here in the near future. We pray for each one of them, and we just ask that your Spirit will guide and direct each one. We thank you again for this special day that we can remember each one of our mothers. And Lord, I just pray that for those that have lost their mother, that Lord, you will come soon in the clouds so that those reunions can take place again and those hugs and kisses can take place again. And we can give you the honor and the glory for your redeeming power and your saving power to bring us back together. We look forward to that day, and we ask that you would keep us faithful to that day, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, happy Mother's Day in advance already. Remember, I think there's a breakfast tomorrow for moms. If you want to come to that, 8 o'clock. I know most moms are way up before that time. So 8 o'clock for those moms that want to come. Hug your mom today. Hug her tomorrow. Hug her for the rest of your life. May God bless you.